So glad you could join with us. We want to make sure and we welcome all those that are listening in and tuning in on the miracle of the internet. So High Ridge family, let's welcome them in with a warm round of applause together this morning. We're glad you could join us. Welcome, welcome to our friends all over the world. Glad that you're with us. Turn your Bibles, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1, then also to Luke chapter 1. We're going to continue on with our Christmas story. And I want to thank each of you personally for making some adjustments. We've tried to relieve as much pressure off of this service as possible. So you may notice that there are some actually empty seats today. We've asked a lot of people to make that move, and many of you have done that and responded. Some of you still need to pray about it, but that's all right. Our first service was completely packed this morning. I thought, now we've created another problem. Now our first service is too full. I don't know how to fix this. You people got to get in line. I want to remind you of a couple of things. Next week, we're having three services, and we're believing that your friends and your family are going to meet Jesus on Christmas. It's going to be an amazing, supernatural Christmas for many people as they meet the real reason for the season for maybe the first time. How many of you are planning on coming to the 9 a.m. service? Let me see your hands. Oh, look at you. I appreciate that. How about the 10:30 service? Where are you guys at? Excellent. There's also an 11:45 service. Let me see where you guys at, 11:45s. Okay, a bunch of you are just not coming to church next week. Is that what you're telling me? Come on. Let me just tell you this. If you invite people on Christmas and Easter, they will come. They will come. And you will never see your friends the same way again as when you see them through the eyes of them receiving Christ for the first time. It's an amazing thing to watch your friends and family members meet Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you, invite people. Invite them, invite them, invite them. We've made room for them to come. So this is that moment where you become the church, you step out of your insecurities and fears and actually talk to people and do what the church is supposed to do. Somebody say amen right there. You are the church. The church is not a building. It is you. You are the church. You're God's hands and feet. Invite people. They will come. You watch God change lives, and it's the most awesome thing that you can do this side of heaven is leading people to Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. So let's keep on going with our series this morning. We're calling this series Unto Us, talking about the gifts that God has given his people. Let me just remind you of this. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, saying God is a good gift giver. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God is a good gift giver. And some of us in that same spirit need to remember that when you give gifts this Christmas, give good ones. That doesn't mean you have to give expensive ones, but put some thought into it. That's a quick public service announcement for all your friends and families. Put a little thought into it. Put a little thought. A little thought. Someone last year gave my son, who was 16 at the time, a jar of honey for Christmas. Who gives a 16-year-old boy a jar of honey? I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Like, well, it's local natural-grown honey. I'm like, what? He's 16. I mean, give that to me. I get it. It makes sense for me. I'm fat, and I need things that are natural and healthy. He's 16. What is it? Who gives that? Who gives that gift? Give good gifts. Be like God. You know, and there's sometimes where you give people gifts that gives them subtle hints about what's really going on inside your mind. Some of you do this. Let me just tell you. You start giving somebody like a weight loss book. What is that supposed to? What are you trying to say? Just saying, don't do that to me. I know what I look like. I'm in shape, round as a shape. And then what about makeup kits? You know, what are you trying to say when you give someone a makeup kit? You need help. What about exercise bike? You know, some of you are like, hey, I'd love to have an exercise bike. Yeah, maybe. But for some people, you give someone an exercise bike and that has a subtle hint behind it. Like, hey, you need to work on some things. My gift to you is longer life. You know, you can tell a lot about a person and their love for you by the gifts that they give you. I've had people give me things that I thought, wow, you actually listen. You put some thought into this. You gave me a gift. This is perfect. My wife is an excellent gift giver, by the way, which is one of the reasons why I love her so much. My love language is gifts. And my wife is a giver. She loves to give the perfect gift. She's never given me a gift where I thought, I can't use that. It's always the exact thing that I need. Because she listens. And you can tell a lot about a person and their love for you by the gifts that they give. You can even tell some things by the gifts that you don't get. Ladies, I'll just give you a case in point. You ever hoping and thought that an engagement or a proposal was coming and you didn't get that ring? Maybe he's trying to tell you something. I'm just saying. You ever thought you were going to get a Christmas bonus? They're trying to tell you something. We don't like you here. You don't do a very good job, right? Sometimes those subtle hints with those gifts will tell you even more than the gift itself. And here's the great thing about 2 Timothy chapter 1. God shows us his character and his heart by saying this: for God has not given us the spirit of, somebody say the next word, fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. And I need you to understand this. Fear is a spirit. It is a spirit. But instead, God gives us three ways to counteract that spirit of fear. In the next verse, it says, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God say power, love, and sound mind are the ways that we counteract that spirit of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So it gives us a clue into God's generous nature and the perfect gift-giving God that he is by saying he doesn't give us fear. Matter of fact, fear is a learned response. No one is born afraid. We learn fears. And here's the good news. If you can learn it, you can unlearn it. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's a spirit that does not come from God. We've learned to make it part of who we are. And we can unlearn it. We can unlearn it. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You can unlearn those fears. So four times during the Christmas story, an angel appears to some key characters around Christmas. And it tells these people within the first sentence or two, do not be afraid. Your Bible may say, fear not. Here's showing us that in God's presence, he doesn't want us to be afraid. Fear not, he says. And as we're looking at people like Mary and Joseph and Zechariah, as we're looking at these people around the Christmas story, and as the angels are appearing and saying, don't fear to the shepherds, we can find that he's speaking to some very real and common fears that each of us have. You have fears, as do I. You've got some secret fears, and if you're going to be honest, if you can lay down your pride for just a moment, we can confront those fears and show you how they're a spirit. And you can absolutely do warfare against them. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So pick it up with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 1. We're going to focus in on Mary and the fears that the angel was confronting that day. Starting in verse 26, if you would. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. We'll stop there for a moment and say, okay, God, that's not the way we say hello. You know, perhaps the better thing that an angel could have said in that moment was, shh, don't scream. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. So Mary wonders what kind of greeting this might be. Who talks this way? And notice the words that the angel says in that moment. He says, do not be afraid. He says, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, because Jesus was Hispanic. Don't argue with me. I know my brothers. It's Hispanic to know that your son can do no wrong. That's a Hispanic thing. Mary, he says, you found favor with God. You're going to conceive, give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus. Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And I want you to notice this very important next verse, and some of us need to underline this in our word this morning. It says, for no word from God will ever fail. God's word does not fail. It has never failed. It will never fail. If God says it, it's coming to pass. No word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. As we're looking at this story, I wanted to go just a little bit deeper and hopefully find ourselves and find our own fears in this moment as we're hopefully being honest with who we are and what we're facing and looking at Mary's story as well. I want to give you five common fears that Mary faced that some of us face right here and right now. The first fear that we see from Mary is the fear of being unqualified, the fear of being inadequate, not enough. This is a very common fear for a lot of well-meaning Christians. It keeps us from ever becoming what God has called us to be. Because we think in that moment when God is stirring up on our hearts that God must not know what he's doing. God, you don't know me that well. Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm from nobody. I've never had nothing. I'm never going to be anything great. I'm not the most educated or not the most this, not the most that. We all feel a little unqualified at some point. But if you give in to that spirit of fear, you're always going to stay on the sidelines. You'll never step out in faith. You'll never do the things that God has destined for each and every one of his sons and daughters to do. You were called to greatness. You need to get that into your spirit this morning. You were called to greatness. You do not serve a mediocre God. He does not give mediocre gifts. He's calling out the best in you. But that fear of being unqualified keeps us from listening. It's loud. It's a loud fear. God, I'm nobody. And Mary faces this fear when she says, God, I'm not qualified, number one, to be a mother, let alone the mother of God. Are you kidding me? Jesus in the flesh, who am I? I'm from nowhere. She's got no education. She's not wealthy. There's nothing about her that would say she's special except for her devotion to God and her willingness to take a step of faith. That fear of being unqualified is a powerful voice. And let me just tell you this morning, in case you didn't know, God loves to use ordinary people in extraordinary ways. I am living proof, and so are you, that God looks beyond faults and sees something special. And if you'll allow him to do his work, he does incredible things to those who are willing to be used by God. Here's a second fear that we see in Mary, is that fear of being alone. And I've found this to be true in a lot of Christians' hearts. That fear of being alone will keep you locked into a place of paralyzing fear. Afraid of being alone. And for Mary, this is a very real fear. How do you explain this to Joseph? Let's go even farther. How do you explain it to your mom? You're pregnant? You're 13? You're 14? Are you serious? It was an angel. I know Angel's mom, and I'm going to talk to Angel's mom right now. No, an angel, not Angel. An angel. His name is Gabriel. Okay, Gabriel, I'm looking him up. Who's his daddy? How do you explain that? Here's a very real fear that she's facing. And you know, here she is, pregnant with the Son of God and having to deliver a baby by herself. She doesn't have her mom there to coach her and help her. Doesn't have a doctor. There's no midwife. There's no 911 in case things go wrong. You take away a lot of safety nets and put yourself in the place of this young teenage mother for the first time delivering a baby on her own. There's a lot of real fear there. That fear of being alone causes many Christians to stay in a very unhealthy place. Here's another common fear that we face, is that fear of being uncomfortable. And this one is a big deal to me, because I love modern inventions. I love technology because it makes me more comfortable. I love air conditioning and heat. I have both of them in my home. Rich. I love my recliner. I love my side of the bed. I love my special orthopedic pillow. Do you have your special pillow? Yes, you do. You got your special. Don't you mess with my pillow. That's my pillow. It's amazing how spoiled I've become. I can't get a good night's sleep unless I have my pillow. Just the right height, the right firmness. Got to have a fan going next to me. Got to have a little white noise. Where's my fan lovers at? You got to have a little white noise. I see my brothers and my sisters. That's what I'm talking about. I love the comforts that technology brings, and that fear of being uncomfortable keeps a lot of people from ever stepping out in faith. God, what happens if you call me to Africa? Well, they have electricity. You can still use your fan. God, what happens if you call me to some place where people eat bugs? Then you're going to like bugs. I don't know. You work it out. Try it. It's protein. Now, we have this fear of God calling us to do something that we're not going to like. And that fear of being uncomfortable keeps a lot of people from ever doing things like tithing, allowing God to control their finances. Keeps a lot of people from witnessing. Keeps a lot of people from sharing their story. Oh, I'm gonna be uncomfortable. It's awkward. You think Jesus doesn't know awkward? He knows awkward. Think about this for a moment. Mary had to essentially go 120 miles. Think about the difference between Longview and that trip to Dallas. Now, we have this version in our minds of Mary on top of a donkey, and a donkey ride at 9 months pregnant, I don't care who you are, does not sound like a good time. But in all honesty, the Bible never mentions a donkey. In Christian tradition, we see this in our minds, but we know this, that when they dedicated Jesus on the eighth day and they took him to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, they presented the cheapest possible gift that anyone could bring, and that's two turtle doves. So if they can barely afford to offer a sacrifice, they can't even afford a sheep, how could they afford a goat? How could they afford a donkey? So think about this in that moment, 120 miles on foot at 9 months pregnant, through the desert, hello, not on an asphalt road, but robbery is a very real threat. Having to travel by night just to get the sun off of your head. Talk about uncomfortable. Here's God placing his vision upon our heart, saying, I'm calling you out of comfort, and her being willing to do it. I like being comfortable, and so do you. It's amazing. You'll choose the church based upon the temperature of the room. And thank God you've overlooked that here, because sometimes it gets so hot in here, you would not believe it. We're trying to cool it down as fast as possible, can't do it. And so we're having to build another building just to make it cooler for people like you. There's a lot of body heat in this place. You like to be comfortable, and so do I. That fear of being uncomfortable is, and God calling us to something that we might not like, it's a very real thing. Here's another fear, the fear of rejection. What will people think? You know, what happens if Joseph determines that he's not going to believe her story? There's rejection there. The Bible says they make it all the way to the city of Bethlehem. And we have this kind of version in our minds that they check into a motel, and the motel says, no, there's no room in the inn. You guys can stay in the stable. But in all honesty, Joseph is going to his hometown. And the very real possibility is that he's trying to stay with his family. And his family is saying, there's no room for you. Now, how much room can they possibly take up? She is 9 months pregnant. Does anybody have a heart? She just needs a place to lay down. But yet, they're facing rejection by their own family members. It's a very real thing. There's no comfort, then there's rejection. Here's number five, is the fear of poverty. If I'm going to be used by God, he's calling me to be broke. He's going to take all of my money. You know, that fear of being broke keeps a lot of people from ever stepping out in faith. And I've seen this happen time and time and time and time again, where we trust in wealth rather than trusting in the provision of God. Let me just tell you this. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, please hear this. Where God guides, he provides. If God is leading you to something, he's going to lead you through it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But there's a very real supernatural God that can control a lot more than you think if you let him. And that fear of being uncomfortable, being rejected, and being broke is a very powerful voice, a powerful spirit. So let's face our fears this morning with some truth. Let's be honest and use a little common sense with this. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number one, feeling unqualified is normal. It's normal. All of us that want to be used by God will feel unqualified. You're not alone. You're not special. We all feel unqualified at times. But God's word shows us that he loves to use those that are humble in heart and people that don't think much of themselves. God loves to use the marginalized and the overlooked. God loves to use the too old, and God loves to use the too young. God loves to use the too poor, the not educated enough. And thank God that he does, because I'm standing here being used by him, and so can you. God loves to use those that society and culture says you're not enough. That's just the kind of person that God chooses. Look at people like David, the least of his brothers. Look at people like Samuel. Oh, you're way too young to hear the voice of God. Really? The Bible says that Samuel, not a single word that he ever said fell to the ground. God loves to use those people in extraordinary ways who everyone said, you're not enough. And if God can use them, he can use you. If God can use you, he can use me. God loves people who are just simply willing to let him do what only he can do. That's the real question this morning. It's not are you qualified, are you willing? Are you willing? Number two, here's another fact. None of us like to be lonely. Let's be honest. Now, you may say, I love my me time. I need to get away from you people. You're driving me crazy. I need to be alone. Yeah, that's true. All of us need a little me time. I get it. But none of us like to be lonely. It's a very real fear of dying alone, not having anyone to love. That fear of being alone will drive a lot of young Christians into sexual sin. And I've known this at a time of my life where I had to face this myself. That fear of being alone, not having somebody. I had to walk through a season where I'm single again. I didn't think I would have to be. That fear of dying alone and never having someone is a very real and powerful voice. Some people, you've been there. You've had to walk through a failed marriage. And that fear of being alone, if you don't deal with it, it'll cause you to make some horrible decisions. It's a powerful voice, that spirit of fear. Let me just tell you this, though, but I found this to be true in my own life, that sometimes that loneliness season is the season where God speaks more clearly than at any other time. It's in those moments that I found that I can hear his voice so much more clearly when I'm lonely, when I'm by myself, when I don't have anybody else. Have you found that to be true, those of you that had to walk through that? I found that his voice is stronger in those moments. I get to know him better. Here's number three. Just being honest, being uncomfortable isn't my favorite, and it's not your favorite either. We all like to be comfortable. Let's just admit it. If we liked being uncomfortable, then everyone would stay at the gym all day. Oh, I like this. This is good. But you don't. You stay at the gym about 4 days in January, then you give up for the rest of the year. I know you. This is my year. No, it's your week at best. Yeah. Why? Because we don't like being uncomfortable. I'm going to diet. You'll diet until you get uncomfortable. Then it gets real. Then we'll see how much you like it. Let me just ask you this, though. If God doesn't call you out of what's comfortable, how will you ever grow? How will you grow? Being uncomfortable for us is necessary as children of God. God is calling us out of a lot of comforts and things that keep us bound up into this great adventure of following after him. I love comfort as much as the next person, but I love his presence more. Here's number four, and I mentioned it before. If God is calling me to it, he will care for me through it. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Maybe you didn't choose the season that you're in. You didn't choose the fears that you're having to face. But if God is calling you, he will guide you through it. If you let him. When we begin to face our fears and step into what God is asking us for us to do, God does his best work in those moments. I remember this, and you know, as I was facing the fear of being single again, losing my first wife after 13 years of being married, that was a very real and difficult, lonely, fear-filled place to be in. And let me just pull back the curtain on my life for a moment and say, in those moments, facing my fears for the first time in a long time, it's very difficult for me. Hard. And people would say well-meaning things like, well, we're praying for you, we're there for you. But in all honesty, I felt more alone in that season than ever before. It's difficult to have to face your fears and let God be God. But I found in those moments that I wouldn't trade them for anything else. I learned more about God. I learned more about myself in that season than never before. Matter of fact, in all of that mess, God produced something so wonderful in me that I wouldn't trade it for anything. Sometimes when we walk through those seasons and face our fears and face the pain, God does something so special, so powerful, that you can't contain it. It changes your life forever. There's some people in this place that are walking through some extremely difficult days. This is not your best season. It's been a fear-filled year for you. It's been a fear-filled season. And you need to hear that this morning, that if you can take advantage of that this season, God can produce something in you that you will never regret. You'll find that he's never been more near to you than he is in this season. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Bible says he binds up the brokenhearted. It's amazing that scripture will never have more meaning for you until you're really brokenhearted. You sense his love. I've found people that would say stuff and preach messages about the peace that passes all understanding, and I never really knew what it meant until it's all I had. God, I have to have your peace because I'm in a world of turmoil right now. Have you been there? Have you been there? So I love Mary's response in verse 46 as she begins to step out in faith and face her fears. She says this, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." I love that statement of faith that she's saying, from now on, every generation is going to look back and be jealous of me. If I can face my fears, I can look ahead and see the light at the end of the tunnel and realize that God is doing something special and there's a future in this. If I can just stick it out, God's taking care of me. God's watching over me. He's providing for me. He's taking care of all my fears. And if I can look ahead and see it through the eyes of faith, everyone else is going to be blessed because of me and the choices that I'm making here. What a powerful statement of faith from such a young person. And I wonder, in the season that you're in, can you see through the eyes of faith? Can you see past your fears? Can you see beyond just the things that seem to be glaring and screaming at you? Can you see beyond that spirit of fear that talks so loud to see the future that God has intended for you? Because if you can, you're going to grab a hold of some faith. And faith is powerful. Faith is supernatural. It'll help you to hang on when you didn't think that you could. There's some people in here that need a little shot of faith this morning. Heard Joyce Meyer say in a message last week, when fear knocks on the door, send faith to answer it. So let's get practical with this. I want to give you some practical tools and helps that I see in Mary's life that I've had to experience myself, and hopefully it'll help you if you're walking through a season of fear. Number one, and notice this in verse 34, she says, "How can this be?" Here's a great way to deal with fear. Ask God for wisdom. Duh. Ask him for wisdom. I love that our God is not intimidated by our questions. And if you're walking through pain, if you're walking through anxiety, if you're walking through a season of fear, ask God for wisdom, because if I can just understand a little bit, I can keep walking. The worst thing in the world is to experience pain with no purpose to it. But if you can understand why, you can push through. If the woman knows that there's a baby coming at the end, she'll push through things that she didn't think she could push through, because there's hope at the end. Ask God for wisdom. He's not freaked out by your questions. Talk to him. Ask him for help. Lord, can you show me? Can you explain it to me? I need some help. Ask God for wisdom. James is so clear that says if you ask for wisdom, God gives it to you. He gives it liberally to all, the scripture says, without finding fault. I love that about God. He's not freaked out by my questions. He wants to talk to me. I need to talk to him. And in your most fear-filled moments, talk to him. Talk to him. Here's the second way to face your fears, is to submit your will daily. Daily. And this is so critical, because if you're only submitting your will to the Lord just when you're walking through tough times, or you're only doing it on Sunday mornings or once or twice a year when you have a really convicting message at church, you're missing the point of being able to walk with God on a daily basis. If you can submit your will to God on a daily basis, your fears don't add up. They don't compound. The Lord tells us in his word that his mercy is new every morning. You need it every morning to combat your fears. It's a daily process of submitting my will to the Lord. I've made this part of my discipline and my walk with him, and I'm thinking that some people here need to hear that this morning. There's a powerful concept here to wake up and say, God, today belongs to you. All my decisions, all my worries, all my fears, the things that are coming, the things I'm dealing with, I give them to you. Will you help me? Daily submission is a big deal to God. In verse 38, she says, I'm the Lord's servant. I work for you. I submit to you. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, my answer is yes. This is important to do every single day. Isaiah says it this way in chapter 33, verse 2. It says, Lord, be gracious to us. I need your grace, it says. We long for you. It says, be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. That's a good scripture for someone to underline this morning and make it part of your life verse arsenal. But if every day belongs to the Lord, then the pressure of making all the days perfect is on him, not on me. God, this is your day. You work it out. You just show me what to do. I'm listening to you. Here's a third key, is to cut off fear channels. Cut off fear channels. That might be your phone. Maybe you need to take a break. It might be a relationship. It might be someone that you're hanging out with or you're picking up on their fears. Let me just tell you, the worst thing you can do is turn on the television and watch some news and pick up on the whole world's fears. Dumb. Stop. You got enough fears of your own. You don't need to take on everybody else's. Let it go. Cut off some fear channels. Notice that Mary and Joseph take a long trip away from their hometown to get away from the haters and the people that are asking questions, the gossip. And for some of us this morning, it's okay to take a break. Sometimes facing your fears is done best by not facing your fears. Getting away. I need a break. Cut off some fear channels. I wonder, what's your source of anxiety? And are you willingly allowing that to speak into your life every day? What's your source of fear? Where's it coming from? Can you change it? Because if you can, let me just give you permission as your pastor to change it. Take a break. You're becoming a martyr for no reason. Now, if God's guiding you through something and you're facing a fear, that's one thing. But if you're bringing it upon yourself, that's something completely different. Cut off some fear channels. I love this scripture in Proverbs 20, verse 3. It says, it's an honor for a man or woman to keep aloof from strife. Get that picture in your mind. It's an honorable thing to stay above it. There's an old statement that says it's hard to soar like an eagle when you work around a bunch of turkeys. You ever heard of that? No, here's permission from God to stay above it, soar above it. Don't get down in the mud with a bunch of pigs. You're not a pig. You're not a pig. It says, but every fool will be quarreling. It's foolish to stay in a place where all you're going to do is argue and fight. Face more anxiety, more stress. No, it says it's an honorable thing. Stay above it. Stay above it. Keep your mind, the scripture says, set it on things above. Here's number four, and we'll close it out with this one. Get with faith-filled people. The worst thing you can do when you're walking through a season of fear is to isolate and pull yourself away from God's people. In those moments, you may feel like the best thing to do is get alone with your thoughts. Don't do that. The last person you need to be taking advice from in a fear-filled season is you. You are not thinking straight. You're not listening. You're not growing. You're filled with fear. Let it go. Get with some faith-filled people. Starting in January, we're launching 18 groups, the most groups we've ever launched in our history. There are more and more and more groups that are coming. Let me just tell you this. They're already online. The sign-up is already online for you. They're filling up fast. We need you at some point, if you're going to take a step forward with God, to get into a group. Sunday mornings will not be enough for you. We've got them all over the city, all at different times during the week. Find your tribe. Find your people. Get into a group. Get around some faith-filled people that will encourage you. If you're walking through a season of fear, if you find that your anxiety is going crazy, get around some faith-filled people. Notice that Mary and Joseph took a break. They got around their cousin Liz and Uncle Zach. And they found that they were walking through the same season. They began to encourage and build each other's faith up. And it gave them strength to face their fears. There's something to be said in that moment from God's word telling us you can't do life alone. You were never designed to do life alone. Get with some faith filled people. Let them encourage you. Let them strengthen you. If you're walking through a season of fear, get into a group. If you've just come out of a season of fear and you're finding that God was very real in that moment, get in a group because people need to hear your story. They need to hear your story. Get around some faith-filled people and watch your fears turn into faith. Watch them turn into a testimony. Watch the mess become a message. Get with some faith-filled people. I'm speaking to you tonight. Please hear me as your pastor. I'm giving you a word from the Lord. Get with some faith-filled people. I'm not designing and building groups just to take up more of my time. It's for you. It's good for you. It's the best thing that we can offer you here as a church is to get into a group. You're going to find that God will meet you there. He's going to meet you there. And you're going to watch as you get stronger and the power of God gets stronger within you. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him, and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer, and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.